Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with pastor of Reunion Church in Dallas, Texas, Richard Ellis. He'll take the next few minutes to encourage us with Christmas hope and to challenge us to learn more and grow closer to God's greatest gift, His Son, our Savior, Jesus. It's the 25 Talks of Christmas, a different holiday-themed talk each and every day, all month long. Of course, you can always listen to, download, and share this or any talk anytime from the 25 Talks of Christmas Advent calendar at richardellistalks.com. So let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is DaBaby. Very few of you are going to know who Jonathan Lyndale Kirk is. He was born in Cleveland, Ohio. He's a rapper that goes by DaBaby. He used to go by Baby Jesus. And I did a little delving into his discography, and I don't recommend it. It's pretty rough, and we'll circle back around to DaBaby in a little bit. But when I do go listen to, and I do like some rap, rap's pretty, can get pretty rough, kind of if you know where it comes from, and the streets, the hood, the, you know, wherever it may originate, pretty rough situation sometimes, so the rap is rough. But it also reminds me why Jesus came. It's rough down here. And I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 1 today, and we're going to talk about DaBaby. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and it goes into his genealogy all the way down through verse 16. And it says, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom, speaking of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Jesus, the anointed one, the Messiah. And then if you go down a few more verses, verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. She's pregnant, she screwed up, we'll put her away quietly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, if you look up the word Jesus, it means simply Savior. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now go to Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with his wife, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And let me just say this in little insertion here. Mary picked the right guy, because Mary would not have ended up in Bethlehem if she had not been betrothed to Joseph. It was not where she had to go be registered. It was where he had to go be registered. And the prophecy was that Jesus would be born of a virgin and in a specific city, Bethlehem. And the only way for a pregnant girl to get to Bethlehem in that moment was that her husband was required to be registered in Bethlehem. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. It is still so fascinating to me where the angels went, where they were sent. They weren't sent to Jerusalem, to the Pharisees, the scribes, to the temple. They weren't sent there to tell the chief priest, the high priest, he's been born in Bethlehem. You guys need to get out there. Where'd he go? To a bunch of redneck, blue-collar shepherds. Nobodies. So you think, well, I'm nobody. Apparently, everybody's somebody to Jesus. And sometimes he sends messengers to people he knows will respond, because sometimes he sends messengers to people and they don't respond. And these shepherds knew what to do with the message. Good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a what? A Savior, who is Christ the Lord. We need a Savior. We don't need another prophet. We don't need another messenger. We need a Savior. And the world had waited from the garden, since the garden, for a Savior. And we today look back to a Savior who showed up because we needed saving. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger, not where a baby's supposed to be. And suddenly there was with the angel, so there's one angel that starts out this little dialogue with them. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and he was a just and devout man, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now look at this, what had been revealed to him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Savior, the Anointed One, the Messiah. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace." In other words, now I can die in peace. "According to your word, for my eyes have seen" what? "Your salvation." This is our hope. This is our only hope, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Now go to Acts chapter 3, if you would. In Acts chapter 3, go down to verse 2, "And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms." And then if you go down to verse 26, in speaking to him and to them, he says, "To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you." And how did he send him to bless us? "In turning away every one of you from your iniquities." So here's my question for you at this point. Is it working? If that's the blessing, if God raised up his servant Jesus, and he did, and he sent him to bless you, and how did he send him to bless you? To turn everyone away from your iniquities or your sins. Is that what's happening? To be tempted is not to sin. To sin is to sin. But do you find that because of Jesus, you are being turned away from your sin, or you continue to be turned to your sin, or even worse, you feel like you're being turned into your sin, and it's become who you are? Jesus came to save you from yourself, from your sin, to save you, period. And it may not happen overnight. It may not happen all at once. But what will happen gradually, if not sometimes instantly, he will do what it says here. Turn away every one of you from your iniquities. You say, well, I still struggle. Everybody still struggles with something. But the blessing is that he turns you away from your sin, not back to your sin. So let's do a little survey. How many of you still struggle with something? Raise your hand. So here's the simple categories. If you're not a Christian, so listen really carefully because this is your life at stake. If you are not a Christian, if you have not trusted Jesus to save you, you're by yourself. You're living alone and you will die alone. And you will not make heaven because you don't have Jesus. You say, well, that's just too narrow-minded. It's just the truth. And the reason you can't win over your stuff is you have no power, you have no one, you have no savior, you have no one to save you from your sin, from yourself. But then if you are a Christian, as the hands went up, people in the room and beyond know this, you still struggle. But you have access to power not around you, within you, to say, God, help me. Turn me from my sin, not back to my sin, and certainly not into my sin. Turn me away from sin. And then slowly but surely, you find yourself going the right way, not the wrong way, and your life changes. You say, yeah, but I know Christians that they claim to be all that, and they're not living it all the time. Well, what about you? What about me? Go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Where'd you get the power, and in whose name, what name did you use to do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. And then look at verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, I never say what I'm about to say to disrespect anybody else's beliefs or whatever. Muhammad cannot save you. It's a name. It's not a saving name. Krishna cannot save you. The Buddha cannot save you. They all have names. But there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's only Jesus' name. You say, but if I say that out loud, people will criticize me. I'll be persecuted. Okay, but what if you don't say it out loud? And what if these people that you claim to care so much about, really it may be you care what they think about you, not what you think about them or where they'll end up, and so we're quiet. And people have challenges and problems and fears and doubts and guilt and shame, and they speak of these things, and we know the only name that can save. There is no other name. I have no one else to tell you about. Peter can't save you. Paul can't save you. John can't save you. Mary, the mother of Jesus, can't save you. But Jesus can save you. Amen. Acts chapter 5, verse 31. Him God has exalted, speaking of this Jesus, him God has exalted to the right hand to be who? Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Prince and Savior. That's who he is. That's what he does. Acts chapter 13. We'll go down to verse 21. You can read the rest of it on your own, but it's Paul in the synagogue in Antioch, and he's speaking to the Jews in this synagogue. And in verse 21, it said, "And afterward, they asked for a king, so God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. From this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel," what? A savior, Jesus. It's over and over and over in scripture. Jesus is referred to as the savior because that's who he is. After John had first preached, before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, "Who do you think I am? I am not he, but behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose." I can't even take his shoes off. "Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. By sentencing Jesus, they fulfilled scripture without even knowing they had done it. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now, when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And when we declared to you glad tidings, the promises which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus. As it is also written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son, today I've begotten you,' and that he raised him up from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, 'I will give you the sure mercies of David.' Therefore, he also says in another Psalm, 'You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption.' For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. But he who God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." But just keeping the law, it couldn't fix everything. But by this man, it can be fixed. You can be forgiven. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, 18. "Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men," talking about Adam, "resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men." So what Adam screwed up, Jesus fixed. But you got to get Jesus in you and you in Jesus to fix it. "Resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous." Adam disobeyed, Jesus obeyed, was willing to go to the cross, die, be buried, raised from the dead to offer what? Forgiveness of sin, salvation to whosoever will. And then in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, go down to verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Now let me go back to DaBaby. Somewhere along the way in an interview, he said something very astonishing, and I haven't spoken to the young man, so I don't know where this comes from or where it lands. But they asked him, the rapper, about his religious beliefs, and this is what he said: "I'm blessed. I'm covered by the blood of Christ." And I read that and thought, now, how astonishing is that? You say, well, how could he actually believe that and rap the songs and live the life that he lives? Yeah, find you a mirror and ask that same question. Because I believe that, but I've got capacity for all kind of crazy stuff. You may believe that, but what about your heart? What about your mind? What about your life? What about what's really going on that nobody sees or knows? Are you blessed in that he's turning you away from your sin, or do you keep going back? Well, the world might say, well, if you're a Christian, how can you say things like, I'm covered by the blood of Christ, and yet live this life? It turns out it's possible. It's not what's intended, but it's possible. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense. It shouldn't be that way. Then here's where you start. Start with you, and then pray for DaBaby. Because the answer is, you got to be covered by the blood of Christ. And without his life, without his burial, without his resurrection, without his bloodshed, you got nothing. You cannot be saved. It still seems like a bizarro story to me every once in a while. And you say, well, that's what you're going to tell people? You don't have some fancy message, some potion, something they can drink, something they can eat, something they can do, some steps they can climb. You're going to tell people that if they believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead, they can be saved. That's exactly what I'm going to tell you, because that is the truth. The baby became the man that died on the cross so that we might be saved, raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and coming again one day. And our prayer is, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the work that you do in our lives and the lives of people that are searching for you. And first of all, today, Lord, for those people, they can't make it work. They don't know what's wrong. And yet this bizarre story, they can't shake it. And it's unlike anything they've ever heard or known. And you have invaded their heart, their mind, their life, and revealed yourself to them. And they know they've got to do something with this story, with this Jesus. I pray that they would recognize who he is, not just the baby in the manger, but the perfect Son of God who was born and lived a sinless life to die on a cross. The Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, was crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. And because of all that, they can be saved. They can be rescued. They can experience the forgiveness of sin and the life that you intended, not being turned into sin or turned back to sin, but turned away from their sin. So if there's anybody in this room or beyond, Lord, and they would be willing to pray a simple prayer and just say, God, I get it. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I need saving. Save me. I believe that Jesus died for me, shed his blood for me, was buried and raised from the dead for me. And I accept this gift of eternal life that he bought and paid for, the forgiveness of my sins, a new life, the life that you intended. Come live in me, through me, change me. Help me be the man, the woman, the young person you intended for me to be. Thank you for saving me. And Father, for those of us that are believers, and we believe, we may have some doubts or questions, and some of the reason we question our salvation is because of the lives that we live. But if we really analyzed it, we'd get back to the basics, and at some point we truly believed. And now it's a question of whether we're going to follow you or not, trust you or not, obey you or not, and have the same mindset that Jesus had, where he was willing to obey you, follow you, Father. So help us be the people that you intended for us to be, so that we can do what you intended for us to do and accomplish what you have for us in the only life that we will ever have. We love you, Lord. We thank you for loving us, for coming after us, sending your Son, and what a difference it has made in our lives, in our families, in the world, in all of history. No other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. We thank you for Jesus, and we pray it in his name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks. This program has always been about not only providing daily encouragement, but also daily challenge to help us grow in our faith, to continue being shaped into the person God desires us to be as his hands, feet, and voice to our hurting world. You know, not only is that the mission of the Richard Ellis Talks program, it's also the great commission of Pastor Richard himself to clearly share the simple message of the gospel in a way that leads people to Jesus, to reach everyone together. So these 25 talks of Christmas this month is a creative way for you to reach a friend with some encouraging teaching. We've made it real easy for you to do just that from the website richardellistalks.com. You'll see the Christmas Talks Advent Calendar, where every holiday-themed talk can be listened to, downloaded, or shared right from each day's door. The website is richardellistalks.com. So before we part ways for today, I'll remind you that you can automatically receive a direct text on your phone each and every morning that will link you to the most recent Christmas talk on the website Advent Calendar. Simply text the word Richard to our toll-free phone number, 855-6-RICHARD. That's the word Richard to 855-6-RICHARD. All this month, it's some Christmas words of hope, insight, and encouragement during the holiday season, when perhaps we need to hear the message of Emmanuel above the rest of the seasonal noise. So to automatically receive the daily link, text Richard to 855-6-RICHARD, and you'll have these 25 talks of Christmas whenever and wherever you're ready to listen. So until we get together for the next Christmas talk, thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.